After Massachusetts courts extended the right of gay marriage in 2003, many lawyers expected other states to follow. And now the Maryland Supreme Court may decide soon on whether same-sex couples have a right to marry. But elsewhere, resistance has been stiff, and advocates have been forced to abandon the courts and settle for civil unions, at least for now. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
Maria Agramonte Gomez will never forget October 1st, 2005.
We got up very early because I was concerned that there would be a lot of people and I didn't want to spend the whole day there.
It was the first day that Connecticut offered civil union licenses, and Maria and her partner Lydia rushed to the statehouse.
And there was another couple that had gone to the front door, and they thought they were the first in line until they got in and found us standing there.
Their civil union was fine for then, but even that day, Lydia knew that this was only a stepping stone.
Because we can go back and we can say to people, we have tried this civil union, this new social construct, and it isn't equal. If we had never tried it, then, you know, the argument I think on the other side would have been, but how do you know it doesn't work if you haven't given it a chance?
Now the two women, along with other couples, are lobbying for Connecticut to take the next step, to enact a same-sex marriage bill. Like others, they've had dinner with state legislators and testified before lawmakers. In a shift to strategy, rather than fighting and losing in court, advocates are taking a softer approach with lawmakers.
We've seen legislation to end marriage discrimination in California, Connecticut, Illinois, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Vermont, Washington State.
Evan Wolfson is executive director of Freedom to Marry.
They're not all going to pass. Many of them may take several years to pass, which is typical of civil rights legislation. But the conversation has begun, and it's begun at the right level.
This conversation, or pitched battle, began in earnest in 2003, when the highest court in Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage. It set loose a frenzy of nuptial activity as officials in San Francisco and Oregon, New York, New Jersey, and New Mexico handed out marriage licenses. But according to Greg Levy, senior counsel at the Alliance Defense Fund, which opposes gay marriage, as the television news showed men wedding men and women kissing women, the American public balked.
People looked at that and said, wait a minute, that's not marriage. Marriage is a union of a man and a woman. So there was a big public reaction, which resulted in a lot of marriage amendments since then.
In 23 states, voters have changed their state constitutions to prohibit same-sex marriage, and most of the other states have laws doing the same thing. Gay couples had no better luck in the courts. In 2006, of the 12 cases before state or federal courts, gay rights advocates lost 10. Levy says that was a good year.
Particularly July. Six of those were in July.
Now only a handful of states remain possibilities, says Matthew Staver, the founder of Liberty Counsel, a legal group opposing same-sex marriage.
So I think within the judicial landscape, not to say that nothing is available, the window of opportunity has narrowed significantly.
He says as the momentum shifted, so has the legal strategy for gay marriage advocates.
Rather than making the macro steps, which they hope to do in these states, they have to retreat and make micro steps.
Incremental rights like domestic partnership benefits or hospital visitation rights. But advocates say they're taking the long view, and for that they find solace in the fight a half century ago over interracial marriage. Evan Wolfson at Freedom to Marry notes that California became the first state to rule that interracial couples could marry in 1948. It took another 19 years before the U.S. Supreme Court sanctioned it in 1967. Wolfson says the years in between were peppered with setbacks.
If people had stopped after the first challenge, or after the third challenge, or after the 13th challenge, we may have gone a very, very long time in this country before we saw an end to race restrictions on who could marry whom. But the 14th one was the charm.
For her part, Maria Agramonte Gomez believes that same-sex marriage is inevitable, that demographics are on their side.
I've talked to a lot of much younger people than me, and the next generation, they're there. So it may wait till we all die off, but it's going to happen.
A Pew Forum poll last year found that 70% of people over 50 still oppose gay marriage, but more than half of Americans under 30 think it's fine. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.